one last sermonette. Because now we move on to this next part of our worship, as we recognize today is also the 25th anniversary of our church. We made it. So we return back to our passage, and we continue to look toward the transformation that these first disciples experienced as they became the church. Because, of course, Jesus really wants to form us into something new as well. And so let's finish our passage. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. And we finally see the transformation made complete. Notice what has happened throughout this passage. The disciples started there in the room together and yet kind of just individuals there. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were turned outward and they became the church. And by the time we get to this final part of our passage, they have fully formed into this new creation. Before this, they were just a gathering of disciples. Now they're a church. Before this, they were united only by their individual pursuits of Jesus. But now they have been shaped into something new, bound together, reformed, if you will. Before this, they were directionless, rudderless. And now they have not only a new identity, but a new mission and a new focus. But also notice that they, the individuals, are changed because they become a church. Because now their impact is greater. Their support is greater. Their faith is greater. They become something more than merely the sum of their parts. Because now they have been infused by the Holy Spirit, filled and focused and formed by God. Actually, our deacons a couple weeks ago were talking about something like this. Because there are times and days that you can feel this change take place in our church in a very real and palpable way. Because we, like those first disciples, often come to church as a bunch of individuals, kind of trickling in separately. But then something happens over the course of the morning. And it's like a light switch, if you're paying attention. Because at some point, we transition from being a bunch of individuals who happen to be here to the church filled and together. Some mornings, it happens around that first song that we sing. There's a transition that happens when we sing together. And you can feel it change. Other mornings, rainy mornings in particular, it's not until way later in the service that you kind of finally feel that change happen. Sometimes when we're hearing the word, sometimes when we're responding to the word at the end. And then there are those other mornings where it happens even before we've come through the doors. Easter Sunday, oftentimes, we're out there having breakfast, and you can feel a change take place out there. And then we all come in here and worship together. Those are the days you leave being like, that was a good day at church. But it all happens when we're finally together and we're aimed in the right direction, and then God forms us into the church together. And as the deacons were talking about it, we actually started to think about, what if we started to advertise that our church actually starts at 9, worship begins at 9:30? What if we could start saying it that way? It would be really confusing to visitors, and that's the one piece we need to work on. Unless, of course, we all were here at 9, being the church, praying together, fellowshipping together, loving each other, and then at 9:30, we all come in here and we worship God. It would take a little bit of resetting how we think about church, how we reset our clocks maybe Saturday night, our routines. But I wonder how it might change us to recognize the church is the church as we gather and form together and focus on God. And then we as the church come in and worship. I wonder also how it would redirect us toward God's mission. How it would help us see the church, not for what we get in here, but also how we live the church out there. Because, again, the church isn't just for us. It's for them as well. Which means we need to figure out how we have been called to this time and this place to serve. Why is there a church right here? What was God thinking when that first gathering of people gathered together and said, I think God's calling us to be a church here? Why here? Why not? I mean, great. Why not somewhere else? Why did God say no, right? You know what? 17 South Lake Boulevard, I think, at the time. Right on this road, we need a church. Why did God do that? And why is this church still here? I read a book this past week that made the point rather well. It basically said that our church has been given exactly the resources we need and exactly the people we need, and it's in exactly the place that God needs for us to do exactly what God has called us to do in this time and place with God's help. In other words, it's not an accident that this church is right here. It turns out Southlake and Keller and Grapevine and Roanoke and North, they actually need this church to be here. God wants to bring more of his kingdom come. God wants to bring more healing and wholeness here. God has more work to be done here, and so he sent our church here. Of course, this also means we better start praying more. We better start listening better. We better start studying a little bit more. We better start working together better. Because if God has a mission for us right here in this place, we better get ready. We better start to do those works. We better start gathering together in homes, eating bread together, praying, fellowshipping together, studying, devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. Because we're going to need all of our gifting and all of the Holy Spirit's power to do what God has called us to do. It's probably why we see that first church doing the same thing. Once you start to recognize the scope of what God is talking about and seeing how much bigger this all is, you recognize how much we're going to need God, which is probably why those first disciples got together to study together and got together to fellowship together and got together to worship together and got together as they served together. Because they knew they needed God more as they set to work doing what God called them. Same is true for us. As we hear God's word and respond to it together as the church. Let's pray. Lord God, we celebrate today 25 years, and we recognize your faithfulness through so many seasons. We recognize your faithfulness in that season where there was no building and it was just a gathering of believers together. We celebrate your faithfulness when this church was in a school. We celebrate your faithfulness as a building was built. We celebrate your faithfulness through seasons where we had trouble paying the bills. We celebrate your faithfulness through hard times. We celebrate your faithfulness through that season a couple years ago that we call COVID. We celebrate your faithfulness today. And we look for your faithfulness for the next 25 years. God, what are you calling us to now? Who are you calling us to be now? What works do you have for us, your church, now? For your servants are here. For your church is ready. We pray even now that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that we might go and be your church here in this place and in this community as we make and grow disciples who give their lives to make a difference in our world. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.